Most of you know that I recently began a series of sermons on the Psalms, and we've so far looked at the first four Psalms together. But today, for this celebration, we're going to jump to the 100th Psalm. Before we read the psalm, I do want to point out its title. Last week, I explained to you the titles of psalms. There are titles created by translators, which are not inspired. Those are of recent creation. But there are also titles which go all the way back to the canonical text. So we should take those titles seriously. And this psalm has one of those titles. We are told it is, quote, a psalm for giving thanks. This is the only psalm in the Bible with that title. That doesn't mean this is the only psalm which leads us in thanksgiving. Far from it. Many psalms lead in thanksgiving, but this psalm was written entirely for that purpose. I invite you to stand for the reading of Psalm 100. And we stand in honor of God, recognizing this is His inspired word. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. May God bless the reading of His word. You may be seated. Well, we are going to consider the message of the psalm under two headings. First, why we give thanks, and then second, how we give thanks. Why we give thanks, how we give thanks. And both points very naturally, easily connect to our 100th anniversary celebration. Concerning why we give thanks, I first of all want to point out that the psalm ends with the reality that some things change over time. I say that because the psalm ends with the word generations. The psalmist knew that generations come, generations go. And we know that truth as well. We cannot escape that reality, can we? When you look at all the pictures out in the social hall, you cannot escape that reality. These two pictures especially show that reality. The top picture was taken in 1918 in front of what we believe was the original church building. The building has been remodeled since then, and today it serves as the Veterans Museum on First Street. The bottom picture was taken this past October. The people in that first picture are no longer with us. They are with the Lord. But by God's grace, new generations followed those first saints. You see some children standing there in that first picture, and some of you are descendants of the people in that first picture. Generations follow those first saints, and new generations are following us as well. It's hard to see because of the size of the picture on the screen, but if you look closely at that second picture, you'll see that the first row, and in some areas of the picture, the first three rows are children. Although our church is 100 years old, our membership is beautifully made up of different ages, and we are especially blessed with many young children. Generations come, generations go. And as that happens, there are always changes. Life is not the same as it was 100 years ago. Many changes have occurred during the time span of the two pictures on the screen. Clothing styles, hairstyles, wages, technology, transportation, entertainment, music, and other changes as well. In the first 100th anniversary newsletter, our historical committee included this description of how life was at the time our church was founded. Quote, children went barefooted to school, with the girls wearing white dresses and the boys wearing blue pants. People traveled by horse and buggy, donkey or bike. The older boys who milked cows earned $30 to $40 per month, and the teen girls earned $15 to $25 per month as domestics. As for irrigation and drinking water, windmills pumped water, and all you had to do was open the faucet for fresh water. There have been huge changes during the past 100 years. The people in the first picture would be totally shocked and amazed to see and learn about First Church today, wouldn't they? And what would they think of all the vehicles we drove to church this morning? What would the children think as they walked in and saw the play structure in our facilities? What would they think if they came to a service in the summer and found out we have air conditioning? A lot of you remember those hot services on Sunday nights in the previous building, Reverend Blankets. I'm sure you remember preaching in those hot services. And what would they think about our air conditioning? And what would they think of our cell phones and Wi-Fi and the live streaming of our worship services? What would they think if you told them, you know, when you're sick, you can actually stay home and watch the service right on your TV? They would be overwhelmed with all of the changes. And what would they think of some of the trials we now face? What would they think if we told them about school shootings, church shootings that have happened in the United States? What would they think if we told them we actually have a church committee discussing how to protect our church from such evil? What would they say if we told them about Christian bakery owners being sued for refusing to sell a cake celebrating something they believe is immoral? If we could go back in time and tell them all that would happen during the next 100 years, I'm not sure they would believe us. So much has changed from generation to generation. Some of the changes that have occurred are sad. The school shootings, the church shootings, sad change that is. But some changes that have happened are excellent. For instance, while we are very thankful for all that the Dutch immigrants did and sacrificed to build First Church, while we will never forget our Dutch heritage, it's a joy to realize we now have many members of First Church who are not Dutch. Your pastor's not even Dutch. My family tree goes back to Germany. I wonder how the people in that first picture would think if you told them, you know, the pastor of First Church is not going to be Dutch. I wonder how they'd think about that. Generations come, generations go, and with the passing of generations are changes. The psalm ends with that reality, simply by referring to generations. And I emphasize that to tell you this. In light of the truth that generations come and generations go, Psalm 100 celebrates and gives thanks for what does not change. That's what the joy of this psalm is all about. What does not change from generation to generation. What gives security, comfort, life, peace throughout all generations. Look with me at the psalm and take note of what does not change. One, we can give thanks that the Lord will always reign. That never changes. The Lord always reigns. Verse 3 of the psalm says, know that the Lord, Yahweh, He is God. The Lord was God reigning 100 years ago. He's still God today. The Lord was working out His plans 100 years ago. He's still working out His plans today. Nothing has removed the Lord God from His throne. Nothing will. 100 years from now, if First Church is blessed to celebrate its 200th birthday, the Lord will still reign. He will still be God. National leaders cannot remove God from His throne. The judicial system cannot remove God from His throne. Armies cannot remove God from His throne. Nuclear warheads cannot remove God from His throne. The stock market cannot remove God from His throne. Even if the entire political map of our world changes, the Lord Jesus Christ will still be on His throne. It's wonderful to give thanks for that truth as we celebrate the past 100 years and enter the next 100 years. Listen to what God says in Isaiah 46. I love these verses. I am God, and there is no other. I am God, and there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will accomplish all my purpose. That is true from generation to generation, which is a great reason to rejoice and give thanks. The God we worship today is the same God whose name was exalted during the very beginning worship service of First Church. The Lord, He is God. And that reason becomes all the more meaningful when you consider what else the psalm says. Dear friends, the second reason we can give thanks is this. The Lord made us, and He takes care of us. He who is sovereign is the one who made us and takes care of us. Verse 3 tells us to know that truth. The first word of verse 3 is a word of confidence. It's a word of assurance. Know with assurance that it is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. As we face changes from generation to generation, especially changes that are frightening, difficult, this is a great truth to give thanks for. Think with me for just a moment about what future generations are facing, might face. They're definitely facing greater temptation. Smartphones and Wi-Fi make a lot of things easier, including sin. That together with the way our culture now views morality, now that makes for strong temptation. The United States is becoming less Christian. Tolerance is being defined in a way that attacks true Christian beliefs and practices. We easily wonder what kind of regulations churches will have to face someday. Often there are rumors of wars. Right now we still don't know what will happen with North Korea. And the economy can always have its ups and downs. Shortly after I started to minister here 10 years ago, 10 and a half years ago, we experienced the housing crash. We wonder if something like that might happen again. From generation to generation, things change. But what doesn't change is that the Lord reigns, and He is the one who is taking care of us. We can give thanks for that today as we think about the next 100 years, and we can be reassured of that truth and give thanks as we think about the past 100 years. Generations before us also faced great trials, didn't they? And by God's grace, they endured those trials. The past 100 years are evidence of the truth of verse 3. One past trial that comes to mind is World War II. In one of our 100th anniversary newsletters, our historical committee pointed out that during that war, almost every family of First Church had a son or daughter in the service. There were large banners in the church, reminding members of those who were far away from home, serving country, a star representing each person, and at one point there were 91 stars. That was a frightening time. It was a hard time, but God was with His people, caring for them as a shepherd. I appreciated the words of Reverend Steigenga, another past minister, his words printed in one of the historical newsletters. My friends, the future is unknown, and it takes courage and confidence to face it. This is especially true of 1942. Tomorrow hides the grim fortunes of war and the horrible calamities that are sure to follow. Darkness and doom seem to be written upon all the days to come. Did you notice that little word seem? It reckons with the visible things and builds its conclusions upon circumstances. Here the human heart founders in the waters of uncertainty and insecurity. How different the outlook of the Christian believer upon tomorrow. For him, there is an abiding light on the road ahead. He is not afraid, but calmness and confidence mark his step into that unknown future. Amid all the confusion and bewilderment, he knows, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. That is great truth, well spoken, well written, and Psalm 100 calls us to give thanks for that truth. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. That truth never changes. And therefore, verse 4 says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him, bless His name. That's what we're doing today. In celebration of how He has cared for us during the past 100 years, in anticipation of how He will care for us during the next 100 years, we're giving thanks. If we had to face the future on our own, well, then the future would be dim. But the Lord, He is God, and He will take care of us. The last verse of the Psalm, verse 5, puts an exclamation mark behind that by reminding us that the Lord is good. loving, and faithful, which is the third reason we can give thanks. Verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." The love and faithfulness that has been experienced the past 100 years will be experienced by the generations for the next 100 years as well, and forever after that. I want to highlight this verse 5, by asking for a little audience participation. I usually don't ask for audience participation, but today I'm going to. Listen to this. If you have three or more generations of family members in this room today worshiping Jesus, I ask you to stand. And don't be bashful. If you have three or more generations of family members in our room, stand. You know, if you have parents and grandparents here, stand. And parents, help your children stand. If you have children and grandchildren here, stand. If you have three generations of people worshiping here, stand up. I'm sure there's many with three generations of people here. Just look around. There are a lot. Lots of people standing. Three generations. And I believe we have four generations here. Listen, if you have only three, you go ahead and sit down. If you have only three, sit. But if you have four generations here, remain standing. Four generations of people, stay standing. There's four generations of people here worshiping Jesus today. You may be seated. A lot of people just stood. Thank you for standing. A lot of people just stood. And you know, we could even include more people if we thought about members in our families who are worshiping in other churches today. And if we thought about members of our families who went to be with the Lord Jesus and are worshiping in his presence, we would have more of us standing today. And my children have grandparents who are worshiping Jesus in their churches. And I have nephews and nieces who have children they're taking their children to churches. So if we included those from other churches, we've included those who are in heaven, many, many more of us could stand. And that's evidence of verse 5. God's love, his kindness, his goodness, his faithfulness continues from generation to generation. And think about this as well. If you are the first generation and your family to worship Jesus, well, then what you just saw when people stood is what's going to happen in your family tree. That's what's going to happen in your family tree. Let me read you a wonderful verse from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God, the faithful God who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep commandments, keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." This is an awesome statement, isn't it? Now, it doesn't mean that each and every member of our immediate family or our family tree will be in heaven. There are many passages we could look at to see that the verse doesn't mean that each and every family member will be in heaven, will be saved. We know that from experiences as well, don't we? But the passage is declaring that God is faithful beyond our understanding. And I therefore believe we will be surprised in heaven to see how the gospel has indeed spread from generation to generation to generation, up to 1,000 generations of those who love God. The Lord is good, loving, faithful. That never changes. That's another reason to give thanks. Now, having spent time considering why we give thanks, I want to point out how we give thanks. How? Verses 1 and 2 call us to give thanks in two main ways. One, we are to make a joyful noise. We're doing so together in this worship service, aren't we? We're in his presence with singing, joyful noise. God has given us everything we need to do that. God has given us a day of rest so that we might gather together. God has given us voices, different voices with different abilities, soprano, alto, tenor, bass. God has given us instruments and musicians, songwriters. God has designed us to be worshipers. And so one glorious way we give thanks is by gathering together to make a joyful noise. We're doing that today. And we will do that forevermore. We give thanks by making a joyful noise. But what I especially want us to notice today is that we give thanks by serving. Verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness. Let's realize today that First Church has existed for 100 years because the saints before us did that. We're standing on generations of glad service. We exist as a church that is standing on the Word of God because people have gladly served as elders and deacons, Sunday school teachers, children's worship leaders, cadet and gem leaders, youth leaders. They've taught faithfully God's Word and made disciples. We have beloved hymns and songs, a history of worship, because people have, throughout the years, served as musicians. We have a fabulous facility, a fabulous property, because people in the past had vision for the future, and people served by working hard, making money, and then tithing and sacrificing much to build this building, buy the property. We're standing on years of glad service. Think of how much money has been given during the 100 years. Think of how much time has been given during 100 years. Think of how many people gave, no matter what was happening in the economy. Some of you older remembers know well all of the past sacrifices during economic hardships that went into building this church. People served and worked hard and gave generously, sacrificially. Think of how people have been blessed by one another and built friendships together by serving with hospitality, making meals for each other, bringing cookies and treats for events together like we'll enjoy this morning. Dear friends, we would not be here today if people had not served gladly. The Lord is God. He is sovereign. He is good, and He cares for us. He strengthens us. We would have nothing without the Lord our God. But it is also true that we have to respond with thankful service. I'm going to state what has happened during the past 100 years by utilizing our mission statement. Dear friends, we have a community of people who love Jesus passionately because the generations before us, they loved Jesus and they served others joyfully. Let that sink in. I'm going to read that one more time. We have a community of people who love Jesus passionately because the generations before us loved Jesus. And they served others joyfully, thankfully. And dear friends, we need to realize that our future depends on us continuing to do the same. We need to give thanks to God for what we have and enjoy from Him. We need to do that. We need to give that thanks by continuing to build a community of people who love Jesus passionately and serve others joyfully. May none of us be a part of a generation that fails to do that. May none of us be a part of a generation that turns away from the Word of God. May none of us be a part of a generation that fails to think about the future and work accordingly with a vision about that future. God is faithful. He's not going to fail. We know that. God is going to continue to strengthen His people and care for His people. Nothing is possible apart from God. All glory and honor unto Him. He is the rock. He is the foundation. But don't forget that as part of our thankfulness to Him, we are to serve with gladness with thankfulness. We need to trust God and offer ourselves up as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to Him, continuing to serve. May those who come behind us be able to say that we were faithful to do so. Please bow with me in prayer. Our Father in heaven, how good it is to know that you are God, and how good it is to know that we are your people. We know that you care for us. We know that you love us. We know that you are faithful. Our celebration this day is evidence of all that great truth. All praise and honor unto you. Every good and perfect gift we remember and celebrate this day is from your gracious hand. And Father, we do indeed want to respond rightly. We want to be faithful to generations following us. And so we pray, help us. Help us to enter the next century serving with gladness, serving one another, serving people in this community, serving people we don't even know yet, serving with gladness under the exaltation of the name in which we pray, the name of Jesus. Amen.